We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's rant line time. We'll run a couple rants. We'll mix in some phone calls. 860-522-9842. Eager to get to the phone calls, but just have to start with some rants here to get things off in the right direction.
Hey, Todd. When are we ever going to get this corrupt media out of our face? I can't even talk to my mom because she listens to that BS all day long. What can we do? We got to get it out and let people think naturally. Love you, bro. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, that's all true, but you've got to lighten up on it enough that you can talk to your mother. You've got to be able to have politics come second.
Hi, Todd. My name is Michael from East Hartford. You guys were talking about racism and race earlier. One thing that is factual, when you look at media today in print, Hartford Current, for example, which tends to stoke the racial flame, USA Today, it doesn't matter the newspaper online, you'll see grammatically they have changed some of the ways that they spell the word white, either white teacher, white person, white criminal, whatever. It's a small cap. The W is now in small caps. This happened about 2 months ago. And every other race starts out with a large cap, such as B or for black or H for Hispanic. But every time you see the word white in a paper about a story, it is in small caps. And what that really means is that we are now regarded as second-class citizens if you are white. I mean, they don't even capitalize that letter anymore. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out and see what your callers have to say. Thank you. Have a good day.
I don't think that's right, because there's been I think both black and white were always not capitalized, because the newspapers have just decided all of a sudden over the last few months to start capitalizing black. And I've seen some of them now capitalizing white as a result. But I don't think it was ever done. I don't believe. 860-522-9842. And we've got Mark in Manchester. Hello, Mark.
Hey, listen, I love your show, and I appreciate the fact that you said you don't mind being called out when you make a mistake, because you're making plenty of them today. The one that I'm calling about is the George Floyd case, when you're saying that, you know, he died of asphyxiation. He did not die of asphyxiation. Two separate
autopsies. What did he die of?
Hello?
What did he die of?
He most likely died of acute drug intoxication, exacerbated by something called excited delirium. But it is impossible to apply force to that area, to the neck, with one knee and choke somebody out. You have to shut off both of the carotid arteries. So he did not die of asphyxiation. I think you need to do a little bit more research if you're going to be on the...
No, I read the medical examiner's report, and the medical examiner, the guy who said that there was a complication in that he had a lethal dose of fentanyl, Dr. Baker, said that he wasn't saying that he died from that. He just said he happened to have that in his body. So it's complicated, but he... The if somebody dies when you attack them, partially because of a pre-existing condition, you're still responsible for killing them.
Yeah, and I don't dispute that. What I'm saying is when you're on the air saying that he died of asphyxiation, he did not. There's no way to die of asphyxiation by having a knee stuck in your neck. I'm 240 pounds. I can put my knee to your neck for 8 hours. It's going to feel like crap, but you will not die from it. It's not possible.
All right, if you say so, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. 860-522-9842.
Hi, Todd. This is Kathy Hopperstad, Republican and independent candidate for state representative in the 9th District. And today, the Truth in Accounting released their the financial state of the state 2020 report. And once again, Connecticut is in the bottom five. We're at number 48 out of 50 for fiscal health. We received an F. So, in my opinion, that's it, and the rest of the Democrats in the state of Connecticut, that they have once again sunk our state, and it's time to vote them all out. Thank you. Have
yes,
a good day.
But that's 2-year-old numbers in that report, I believe. I think that's, I think so. Anyway, it doesn't sound nearly bad enough to match the current situation. So, okay. Fifth worst in the country is the financial condition of Connecticut. That sounds like a rosy kind of look at it. George in Suffield. Hi, George.
I must admit that I only tuned in to the tail end of your conversation with Mr. Markley. However,
okay.
I have noticed over the past couple weeks or months that you have mentioned many a time the term systemic racism, and I would like to strenuously rebuke that notion that exists. I've called in, I don't know, maybe every other month for the past couple of years, and we talk about, you know, like random things, but I've never ever mentioned my ethnicity. I am of Mexican descent, and I've never mentioned it because I don't feel like it's necessary or pertinent, because when I say, you know, because when people ask me, oh, where are you from, because I'm pretty dark, I say, I'm from Connecticut. I'm American. I never feel the need to go into any further depth because it's not
good.
Pertinent. So, and let me tell you something else. I was born with the opposite of a silver spoon in my mouth, and I get up at 5 a.m. every day. I'm a contractor. I'm up doing paperwork until 9 at night most nights. I make something of myself,
Now tell me why there's no such thing as systemic racism.
I don't think it's systemic. Perhaps maybe it's not the right word. It's not the right terminology, but you can't say that the systems are like the deck is stacked against, people of color because they're all corralled into one geographical location. For instance, Democrat controlled inner cities. Maybe a systemic failure. I really don't know what to tell you, but I mean, the fact that, you know, they happen to be people of color and their failure, I believe is a coincidence at best, because I have never seen or never ever ever experienced an incident of racism other than maybe a bad joke or two. I have never ever felt oppressed, or maybe that I have a lack of access to work, credit, or anything else based on anything ever.
Well, I agree with you that personal one-to-one racism is not a problem in America today. Largely, it is, we are way better off than we have ever been. I'm talking about systemic racism. That is structures built and institutionalized that make it hard for some classes and easier for other classes to survive and get ahead in that system. And
have you experienced an example of that, Todd? Has Todd Feinberg experienced an example of that? Have you witnessed an example of that? Other than to say that you've heard an alleged victim of systemic racism, or perhaps a fellow journalist.
I know that schools in urban areas are the worst schools, and they tend to spend the most money on them. That's what an example of systemic racism would be.
How is it racist? I think the system in that particular school district might be failing because it's maybe underfunded or maladministrated, but the fact that there is one particular, a high percentage of one ethnicity or another, I don't know. I mean, the fact that they're underperforming to me suggests that people don't know how to do their jobs, not because, oh, you know what, some all-powerful bureaucrat decided to throw a dart at a dartboard saying, oh, you know what, I don't like these people, so I'm going to make sure that their kids do bad in school.
Well, are you arguing the use of the word racism or whether it's systemic or not? It seems to me clear that if you have the worst educational results coming out of schools from particular areas, like it's all the cities, say, in the state of Connecticut, have performed lower than the mean of all the other places in the state, that would be a systemic problem, would it not?
I would concur with that. However, what I don't understand is, why? Because for something to be racist, right? Something that means that there has to be a judgment involved. So, you know, and to observe that a school district is underperforming is not a judgment. Rather, like I just said, it's an observation. So therefore,
okay, but hang on a sec, George. Because I think you're being way too specific about the word racism. You're right that race, the word racism is so overused today that it means virtually nothing. And I'm only using it because I'm throwing it back in the faces of Democrats who call people who believe in the American system or government racist. So I want them to carry the word around. By their definition of the word racist, they are the perpetrators of institutional racism in this country.
They are racist.
What's that? What's that?
If all they see is color, and all they can do is see someone, instead of seeing someone's character, like Dr. King said, if they can't see someone's character, if all they can see is their color first, before mm-hmm. seeing the underlying reasons why they're, you know, maybe there's no father in the, you know, in the household, maybe too many siblings, mm-hmm. you know, maybe, I don't know. There's a whole, you know, go to Candace Owens for any one of those explanations, but I just don't like the fact that someone like yourself would acknowledge the term. You know, I don't think you're a guy.
Okay, let me tell you why I do it, George. Let me tell you why I do it. It's a great point. The reason I talk about systemic racism is because in the places owned and operated by the Democratic Party, that is the geographical areas of urban America where they get 90% of the vote, and in the schools and policing that are controlled by the unions that the Democrats partner with, the result of the operation of those places is that the minorities they claim to care about and protect do the worst. It's a huge political vulnerability that isn't realized because Republicans are afraid to address it because they don't want to be called racist for telling the obvious truth that I just stated. And I'm trying to normalize the language and the concept because the situation is obvious. Whatever words you want to use to describe it, it's an obvious situation. That's all. It's about time America started telling the truth about where racism is. It's not in one-to-one. I agree with you, George. The one-to-one issue has certainly been transformed over the last couple of generations. I'm sure there's still racial animus because people love to hate each other for stupid reasons. But the problem in this country is that minorities are held down because of where they live. I want Democrats to face the political responsibility for that. Let me grab a quick rant line call, then we'll take a phone call.
Hi, Todd. How are you? I don't really care, but you can conduct yourself way better by saying, I'm great, what's on your mind? You waste more time delaying a response. You waste airtime other than just saying, I'm great, what's on your mind?
All right, this is part of a series of calls complaining because I don't like to engage in, hey, how you doing? I'm doing great, how you doing? The thing you're not looking at, though, is that I've largely succeeded in teaching people to be ready to say what they want to say when they get on the air, which makes for a much livelier, more efficient program. Yeah, each day there's maybe one or two people who ask me how I'm doing, but most of them aren't really expecting an answer. They're just saying that, and then they go right into what they're saying. So I don't see it as such a big deal. I don't know why people get so bent out of shape. Jeff in Waterbury. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Todd. First off, really enjoy your show, but I have to disagree with you saying that these inner-city schools' low performance is a result of systemic racism. They're not underfunded. They're, you know, they get as much or more funding than a lot of the suburban schools. It's
no, that's true.
You know, it's a result of the kids, and it's not necessarily the kids' fault. The kids are in these inner city schools are, for the most part, have a lot more kids coming from broken families.
So what?
They're not encouraged to be good students or to be.
Yes, but if schools can't teach the people who are most in need of an education, that's the place where you judge them. Anybody can teach in the suburbs.
Yeah, well, but I don't see how that's racist, though. You know, that it's a,
well,
it's a.
Did you hear what I just said about it?
Yeah, you.
I'm sorry, I've got to hold you right there. Hang on, though, if you want, Jeff. Because I want to flesh this out. I do. Time's a little cramped. Thank you so much for being here. Wednesday afternoon. It's a good time talking. There's not enough of this in America. Conversation about what's going on in the world. All right, so Jeff, your complaint is my use of the word racism when I say there's systemic racism. Is that right?
I guess that is true, and I think that it sounds like you're trying to, or you're expecting equal outcomes from the schools.
No, I expect better outcomes in the tougher places to teach. Those should be intensive, wonderful environments with varieties of schools, a military academy for the kids who need that. You know, there should if the people who run the cities were not racist in the outcomes of what they do, which at some point you've just got to merge together intent and outcomes when you're talking about systemic problems, when you have a class of people who are systemically getting the worst results in return for the largest. So the reason you spend the most money in the cities and you get the worst results is because they've taken the cause and effect out of spending money on government, because you've got the union thing there, and the unions require that the money be wasted and not make its way into the classroom. But
that's a great point, but you're taking out the personal responsibility aspect of education on parents, you know?
Well, if you have kids coming from broken homes where they're not being taught even to how to conduct themselves properly in society, let's look at extreme cases. They don't speak English right. Maybe they don't even know English because they've just been ushered in as VIPs coming into the country illegally, and they've got to try to teach them in the schools. The schools have to be able to do that, don't they?
I don't know. The schools shouldn't be charity cases. You know, it used to be a charitable organization would help teach English to get people suited for schools, and you know.
Yeah, but for the amount of money they squander in these schools, they should be able to teach a gerbil to get into Harvard.
I agree with you there. You're exactly right.
So if the dispute is really over the term racism, I described why I use that. I think it has the most effect, and I'm trying to use it in the current vernacular because that's how racism is used today. It's a junk word. It's kind of ridiculous, but it is, I think.
Hey, Todd, Frank from Windsor. I'm listening to the show today, which is Tuesday, and the clown that just called in bitching to you about you not responding to how you are feeling or how are you or how's your day going. Why did you just pull the plug on a clown like that? He's got to be a Democrat. How ridiculous. Good grief.
Oh, all right. All right. We're going to talk more coming up. Stan McCauley joins us. We've got more rant line calls, more phone calls. WTIC. We got some more rant line calls, more phone calls in a little while. But right now, Stan McCauley joins us. He's a regular guest. He is a businessman in Hartford, has run for mayor a couple of times, hasn't won yet. But hopefully he'll keep trying. Stan, welcome back.
It's always good to be here, Todd.
So you wanted to talk about pig-headed party members?
Yeah, you know, it's the reason why I probably will never, I'll never win, even though I probably will keep trying, just so that I can be a thorn in the side of the political machine. Because, you know, we have this theology of party politics, and I always challenge people to free their political mind. Because, you know, party politics is like theology. You don't question it. You don't become a heretic by going against the ruling edict that comes down from on high, and the elected officials become, you know, party clergy, and they are always right because they hear from the divine auspices of those who are in charge, and so people suspend any kind of questioning. You know, our government is meant and designed for us to question it. We're the only ones who can keep it accountable. And there's, I'm listening to all of the hyperbole and the rancor that's going on between, you know, Republicans and Democrats. And they seem to be going into hyperdrive, and it's as though you're watching someone lose their mind.
Yeah, I just don't know how it's avoidable. I mean, the energy behind elections and the intensity that develops in this environment where you have basically a 50-50 country and the elections come out close to ties at times, and you do have people trying to rig elections and preordain outcomes by changing the rules of the system. And it's really easy for that to be a team sport. And it all gets elevated in this environment, and the media goes along with it, and everybody's in on the gag. It's really hard to be independent of that.
It is, but it's what's required. If people don't start questioning, I mean, candidates are just saying stuff. I mean, it's becoming insulting to one's intelligence just to listen to them say the things they're saying now. It just doesn't make any sense. They say stuff and then they contradict what they say before they finish speaking.
Well, and they don't get busted for those the contradictions don't get them in trouble, so they're going to keep doing it, I think. You know, it was interesting in the last election because Donald Trump, part of his charm, I think, if I can use that word with him, was that he didn't follow the normal rules of what you're supposed to say if you're a Republican. And he would do kind of the populist thing where you pick and choose the issues based on what's going to appeal to the voters that you want to attract. And that gave him a kind of eclectic feeling of originality, because I think part of the rebellion that was going on 4 years ago was people just being tired of hearing the same lies, the slick lies and the focus group tested words being carefully used as guided by the consultants. You know, the people just rebelled against that whole thing. It doesn't work. This system doesn't work. Let's just try putting this tough, rambunctious guy in there who says what we want to hear. And I think there's a frustration with the result of what you're describing, Stan, but at the same time, people are stuck in that rooting for their team kind of dynamic. I don't know how to break free of it.
They got a question. They really, really got a question. You know, they need to start calling up whoever their candidate is and tell them that they want to hear something substantive. They don't want to hear talking points. They don't want to hear propaganda. They don't want to hear the crafted comments. Question. Ask them why. mean, ask substantive questions when these guys come on the radio talk shows. Pin them down. Don't let them get away with this stuff. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the audience. You know?
Yeah,
Nothing wrong with that. They let them get away with stuff like, you know, what Governor Lamont said yesterday in his I think it was yesterday.
Which thing?
When he was talking about he's going to go get tested, but then maybe he won't. I mean, I felt like throwing my radio across the room because he expected.
Well, I would love to see you do that, Stan. Well, not your radio. Throw your TV. You need your radio.
But it's so frustrating that these people are allowed to get away with that. And the people who are in those rooms, you know, their journalistic integrity is on the line if they allow this stuff to continue. It seems to me that they should be insulted that he should say something like that. I'm waiting.
There isn't much of that journalistic integrity left around. All right, Stan McCauley, thank you, sir, for dropping in. Good to talk with you. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Appreciate it. Stan McCauley, businessman and sometimes candidate from Hartford. 860-522-9842. Let me get a couple of rant line calls in, then we'll take some more phone calls.
Bo Todd, it's 4:45 on Tuesday the 22nd. Every talk show, Rush Limbaugh says fine or well, Will Marotti says fine or well, or the best I can be. And yes, I'm ranting. When people say, hello, Todd, how are you? You need to respond, very well, thank you. Because you have guests on, and they also ask how you are doing. It's normal, and you're not going to change it.
It's great to hear from you, first off, John. I'm glad we got you riled up. John would sometimes call three times a day on the rant line. And all of a sudden, like 2 weeks ago, he disappeared. I'm glad you're back, John, to chastise me once again. 860-522-WTIC. One more rant line call, then we'll take a phone call.
Greetings, Todd. George from Canton. It's 6:01 on Tuesday. Hey, Todd, it'd make my day for you to play my rant, the last one today. I subscribe to Limbaugh's philosophy that, you know, he says, I love saying what I say, and I love hearing me say it. Don't need to put this on the air. It's just for your own edification. I really appreciate listening to you. Thank you, pal. Bye.
Thank you, George. Good calls. Interesting calls. I like being challenged, taken to task. I like being supported. I like it all. All right, who's next here? It looks like Mike in Windsor Locks. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Todd. Got a couple points here. You know, you're kind of saying that the schools should be able to take people that come from less than favorable conditions and build them up. I kind of disagree with that. You know,
explain.
I've heard you say about how universities and schools are kind of indoctrinating youth, and you know, it's not the school's job to instill the basics that the parents are doing, like being moral, being responsible, following the rules, not disrupting classrooms, you know, and it's a whole mindset. And I can give you a couple examples of that mindset. Albany Avenue in Hartford has been revitalized twice in my lifetime, and it's gone to hell both times. Buckley High School and Weaver High School have been rebuilt three times in my lifetime, and they've been destroyed every time. Okay? There's a different mindset.
Well, so let me just tell you.
There's a different mindset in the suburbs. That's why people strive to leave the city and move to the suburbs. All right?
Yes.
The last time I checked, and this was a couple years ago, so it's probably gone up since then, Hartford was spending like $24,000 a year per student, which was, other than Bridgeport, was the highest. It is not the state's job to install morals into our children, okay? There was a guy with a little funny mustache.
Yes, I wouldn't argue for that.
Philosophy. So,
is that your point, that it's not the school's job to instill morals?
It's the school's job to educate people, okay? It's not exactly. Their job to teach them from, you know, the basics of right and wrong. Okay, there's
I'm
a lot
you.
Of people that come from broken homes that do just fine. You know, if you try and they can't reach certain students, then they just need to be expelled. Okay, it's not.
Well, but that's all part of it. That's all part of it. Now I have to talk, Mike. The schools, I'm not saying the schools should be the way they are. I think the schools should be great. The current system requires the schools to be mediocre at best. That's the system, because the system requires that great teachers get paid the same amount of money as terrible teachers. And the incentives are based on longevity. The longer you stay around, yeah, you're sick of it. You don't put anything into it anymore, but stay another 5 years and you'll have a nice retirement. Those incentives, all of it, is designed not to do good education, but to be a good election rigging scheme. Like everything that the Democrats build, it's about how to rig elections. That's my problem. And I don't believe schools should have 1,000 kids in them or 500 kids in them. We should have organic, creative, small schools driven by some small portion of the incredible amount of money that is squandered in the public school systems in America. And if you had an innovative, responsive system, I know it's hard to imagine, but that's what should exist in the worst neighborhoods. There are good people living in the worst neighborhoods. There are mothers desperately fighting to get their kids a chance in life, and the school system doesn't give them a chance because the school system is run by the unions for the Democrats. It's not about the best interests of the kids, and that's what I want to fix. Now consider that, and then tell me that schools have to be bad. I don't buy that. And they have to be worse where the kids need them the most. I don't buy that. If that's the case, just don't do schools. It's ridiculous.
Todd, I just wanted to agree with the caller that called today about how you're condescending to some guests or callers, and then you treat other callers nicely or whatever. I agree wholeheartedly. And also, I think you're wrong. I think it would make for a much more interesting show if you would go further on certain points that you delve into on your show. You go from one thing to the next. The only thing that's consistent is your bashing of the Democrats every
right
day,
on.
Day in and day out.
Yeah.
Your ability to divide us between Democrats and Republicans.
No,
anyway,
no.
That's it.
They've already done that. I'm just looking to tell the truth, which the rest of the media is in the bag for the election riggers, the Democrats, for the Democrats who sell out education to the unions, policing to the unions. I'm just trying to give you the other side of the story. They do the dividing.
Hi, Todd. Just read an article where Mayor Bloomberg had paid a fine for 32,000 felons in Florida in order for them to vote. To me, this seems like it would be breaking some kind of law as far as like trying to buy votes. I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, that it would be violating election laws in some way. I would think so. That sounds like a donation of the Democratic Party helping felons get the right to vote and getting them out of prison so they can exercise it. Or whatever their problem is, because who votes for Democrats but people who are the least informed?
The White House press secretary today announced to reporters that Donald Trump's leadership was very positive, excellent leadership through the coronavirus pandemic.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is such a good rant, and it's so long. I have to save it for tomorrow. Let's see if we can get this short one in. If we can.
Yeah. This is Frank in Southington. I think the most important thing in this country is that we have the right to own property, to live in our own house.
Yes.
And not be intimidated by people going by. I don't like the idea that they want to do this, you know, no single residence.
Oh, that's a whole nother subject. I'll replay that one tomorrow, too, because that's a good subject.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.